of Houston Authority. I'd just like to start the meeting today wishing everybody happy holidays, our last meeting of the year. Appreciate everybody being here. I'll talk about maybe two things. One is just sort of the last 10 months that I've actually been on this commission. I want to thank the commissioners for helping through the year and helping me get up to speed on everything that we're doing. We obviously have had a busy year, and it's been a great year, lots of accomplishments, moving forward on the deepening and widening project and making our budget really important achievements. I want to thank everybody at the port, the staff, for all your hard work. We really appreciate everything you do every single day to create value for everyone that is related to the port. I'd also like to just talk a little bit about our advocacy efforts on the deepening and widening project. We spent 2 days in Washington, D.C. last week with coalition members, meeting members of Congress, met with the White House, met with the Vice President's office, Senate committees, and also the Corps of Engineers. Did I miss anybody, Roger?
Administration, OMB.
OMB, yeah. Right. So we're getting very good feedback from our advocacy efforts, and no one has told us no. They've just told us, complicated politics in Washington, as we all know. We continue to push forward the plan going to increase the public and private component. Typically, it's a 65% federal dollar contribution to a deepening and widening. Remember, our project's about $1 billion. So generally, the federal government would fund $650 million, and the local would fund $350 million. We've told them that we're going to flip that, and we've not said that we don't want any federal money, because at the end of the day, there's a lot of federal benefits that go on. It is a federal waterway. So fundamentally, we have said a number of times that if the federal government puts zero in, we along with industry, will contribute $1 billion to make sure that we get it done, get the widening done sooner rather than later. We all know that if we go through the normal government process, we're talking about 2030, best case 2030 to get a deep and widened channel, and with the program on the program that we're pushing at this point would get at least the Bay Reach completed by 2024. Industry has been with us every step of the way, and has committed to fund 50% of the sort of local cost. We are, as I said earlier, we are hoping that we'll get some federal dollars, but the question is when, how, and what. So we've had some really good meetings. We'll continue to do that. I think we have two or three other advocacy trips set up in the first quarter. We definitely want as many industry people and private sector folks, along with the port folks, and I know some of our commissioners have been on some of those trips, and we'll let you know when they're coming. So I think we've had a good year so far, and we're going to close it out strong. And I just appreciate everything that everybody does to create value for everyone here at the port. So. Thanks.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I could say, I appreciate your leadership. And you came into this with no maritime experience, and you got your sea legs. So we're proud of you. So thank you for what you do.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Okay, so let's go ahead and move to item C, which is the approval of minutes from our October 22nd meeting.
Motion. Move.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. We're going to have some updates from the committee updates, and what we're going to do today is we're going to hit this really high point, but we're going to change this starting in the next meeting. What we're going to do is put the minutes of the various committees in your commission books so that you can just read them rather than having sort of another session of discussions, because there's a lot of things that go on in these committees, and I think it is important for everybody to understand, if you're not at the committee meeting, to understand what's going on. But I also don't think we need to spend an inordinate amount of time at the Port Commission meeting going through the details of those committees. And of course, anything that is approved, that is suggested for port commission approval will be separate agenda items, and then will be discussed, you know, as an agenda item as opposed in the committee. So the compensation committee met on October 22nd. Staff provided an overview of the 2019 pay for performance program, the 2020 incentive program, gave an update on succession planning, and we're going to be talking about our 2020 incentive program in the committee meeting today. The audit committee meeting also met on the 22nd. The matters discussed were the third quarter financial results, which of course the commission has copies of those, the internal audit budget for 2020, and our internal audit plan, which is on our agenda to be approved by the commission today, and general audit activities. So we will, as I said, we'll have all those detailed minutes for you to review at your leisure. We want to talk about the procurement and small business development task force.
The procurement and small business development task force met on November the 11th for an update on disparity study and an update on procurement matters for small business programs. And I look forward to going to the new system.
Okay, pensions and benefits.
Yes, sir. Commissioners, the pension and benefit committee met on November 11th also. Staff reported on the third quarter performance of pension and OPEB defined compensation and defined contribution plans. The actuary valuation report, amended investment policies, and written funding policies are all on today's agenda. The items discussed are reflected in the minutes accordingly from the meeting. Thank you.
All right, I appreciate that. Okay, moving to item E1. Any questions or comments? No. Okay, item E is the appearances. We have public comment from Mr. Ronald Betag. Hopefully I've said your name right. And you have 3 minutes. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, permission to record this maybe on social media.
No, we're that's fine.
Yeah, okay. 1 minute.
Though. Oh, 1 minute. I'm sorry. He said three.
Good morning. My name is Ron Betag. I'm with the Executive Intelligence Review and the LaRouche Movement. And I'm here this morning to announce and distribute to the Port of Houston authorities this particular pamphlet. It's a policy report which is being presented and discussed across the nation. It's a policy report that can, must, and will, if we're sane, become the policy of the Americas and China and other nations. I submit this in the context of the forgotten potential of Mayor Turner's trip to China, in the context of the recent mistaken near unanimous votes in the U.S. House and Senate supporting British Empire geopolitical destabilizations in China and Hong Kong, and in the context of the illegal and self-destructive attacks and the expulsion of Chinese students and scholars. The report lays the basis of the collaboration and joint development of physical infrastructure and scientific cooperation involving trillions of dollars of joint investment, jobs, and growth.
Time's up.
1 second. The empire policies, this insanity of bank bailouts and the zero growth scenarios must end immediately, and this is the report that's a blueprint to do such. Thank you. If there's any questions, there's leaflets outside as you leave.
Commissioners, any questions? Thank you. Appreciate it.
You have copies.
Yes, we do. Thank you. Okay, there's no other public comment. We'll move on to executive staff report. Roger.
Yes, thanks, Chairman and Commission, and good morning to our guests. We're racing to the end of 2019, and our operating results once again are at record-setting levels. Our overall tonnage for the year across the public docks is up 6%. Our container volume remains at double digits. In fact, we have surpassed our 2018 volume in containers through November of this year. So we're going to bump up against 3 million TEUs by the end of the year. So it's just a great year, and our folks have done a wonderful job contributing to that success. I'm going to save the 2019 final recap of the financial and operating results till January, recap 2019 and talk about the things that were accomplished and delivered for the year. But as Rick mentioned that it's about our people, and you know, we have a clear direction and focus on our strategic goals across the organization, and our people add tremendous value, not only to this organization, but to our industry and our community, and we look forward to strengthening those relationships as we move forward. And mentioning people, I just want to take a moment to recognize a few of these folks that have been with our organization for a long time. They've reached milestones in their service, and we want to celebrate their accomplishments with them. So I want to have them stand up one by one. We recognize people that have had at least 20 years of service with the Port Authority. First, I want to ask Myra Seacrest to stand up. She's a senior payroll administrator, been here for 20 years with the Port. Thank you for your service. And next we have, also with 20 years, Kelly Green. She's a senior executive. She works for Tom Hike, which takes a strong person to do. But she does it very well. Thank you, Kelly.
Is she getting like a bonus?
The bonus to work for.
And next, with 25 years, Mr. Eric LeBeau. Eric. He's a tradesman four at our Barber's Cup Maintenance, spent a lot of time down here in engineering inspection. So 25 years, congratulations and thanks for your service.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Next, we have 25 years, our Chief Port Operations Officer, Mr. Jeff Davis. Thank you, Jeff. And I would say, personally, it takes a strong person to put up with 25 years of Jeff Davis as well. He's a great asset to what we do, and thank you, Jeff. And last but not least is 30 years of service as a Tradesman 4. Ms. Shanna Dyche, been working in our Are you on the list? Okay, I just want to make sure. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for coming. Yeah, I was going to say, I knew it couldn't be 30 years.
So thank you all very much, and appreciate your time with the Port. So, and with that, just regarding the items under the executive, I'll mention we have a few items, recommendation to procure some online legal research services. We have a service agreement that we're recommending with the Greater Houston Port Bureau, adoption of the 2020 audit plan, as Rick mentioned, and then an amended interlocal agreement with the Board of Pilot Commissioners. We can discuss each of those individually, but first I want to go to item one, if I may, Chairman, mm-hmm. And ask Jessica to introduce. We're going to have a presentation and update on the strategic plan. So, Jessica, if you would, introduce our guest, our consultant.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. As you know, about 6 months ago, Port Houston embarked on a comprehensive effort to reevaluate our strategic plan, which is required by statute every 5 years for our statute. Port Houston engaged Richard Batty and Nick Davidson from ICF to support Port Houston during this process. As Richard will discuss in just a minute, the strategic plan evaluation process has been very comprehensive and iterative, and we've made significant efforts to engage a lot of our internal and external stakeholders in this process. So you guys saw a version back in September. We have since taken that out for both public input as well as internal input to that plan, and so the plan has now been revised based on some of that feedback. This input was critical to our internal cross-functional design team to help shape the revised draft that you have before you that we'll review with you in just a minute. I do want to thank our internal design team for their leadership during this process, as well as Lindsay Hook and Chris and this corporate strategy department. They've really taken a huge leadership role in managing this process. So Richard is here today to report on the progress since you last saw the plan and discuss any changes. Our hope is to take this to you for final approval in January. So we welcome your input on this. Thank you.
Richard. Thank you, Jessica, and good morning, everyone. As Jessica remarked, and as you can see from the timeline above, The team has really been involved in quite an extensive consultation process with internal and external stakeholders. We held three workshops with the design team for the plan, each time successively refining the document. And after each of those workshops, we did a course check with the chiefs. We held focus groups with other employees from Port Houston, and we met with Port Houston's customers and industry partners, with other ship channel users, and with community stakeholders, some of whom are here today, I think. And later on, we reached out again to contact any that we may have missed on the first go round. As far as the content of the plan is concerned, I think for if you've had an opportunity to have a look at the draft document, the first thing you can see is that the mission and vision have not changed. The mission of Port Houston is still to move the world and drive regional prosperity. And the vision is still to be America's distribution hub for the next generation. What has changed, what have changed, are the goals and objectives by which Port Houston will deliver this vision. And I think last time we brought this to commission, it was still a work in progress. We had five potential goals. The design team managed to settle on four, which is going to be much more manageable. And these cover people, infrastructure, partnerships, and stewardships. And these are what are considered to be the highest priority areas where Port Houston needs to deliver major change. So we have people. I think when we last spoke to you about the plan, we talked about investing in and engaging our people. Well, we obviously want to do that, but the team decided that we actually want to go a bit further and we want to be the best place to work. So it's a more ambitious, it's a bolder goal. Infrastructure, optimize infrastructure and channel capacity to serve the region. So this recognizes the criticality of making improvements to the ship channel. Almost everyone we spoke to talked about the importance of fixing the ship channel. But that's not the only aspect of infrastructure investment that's needed. And I think the words there also indicate that we're not doing this just for Port Houston's benefit, but it's to serve the region. And that's a theme that will continue throughout. Partnerships. Having listened to the views of external stakeholders, it's clear that we need to make a major effort to develop and strengthen external partnerships. And finally, stewardship. This goal recognizes that really fundamentally everything we do is to create greater value for the region. And we've got several specific initiatives to do just that. So I'm just going to spend a little bit of time going through each of the goals. For each of the goals, we have a set of specific objectives supporting that goal. And for people, these are about how we retain and attract the right people and how we nurture their talent. Notice that we put retain at the front there. Often retain gets sort of left at the back, but the team made a call that, you know, we need to remember that we have a lot of people who've been here for a long time, as we've just seen, and we need to be clear about how we engage them and make sure that we keep the best people. It's also about how we address culture, specifically diversity and inclusion and innovation and how we communicate with each other and with stakeholders. And it's also about how we deliver continuous improvement in every function of Port Houston. And what that means is that every single person in the organization has a part to play in delivering this plan. Now, for each goal, we've also drafted a set of measures to track progress towards the goal. And these will be monitored by the management team and reported out to the commission from time to time. You'll see that some of the measures, for example, employee engagement, are things that you only measure on an occasional basis, maybe once a year. But there are others that can be tracked more frequently. Infrastructure. For infrastructure, the objectives, firstly, and obviously, to widen and deepen the ship channel, but also, the important word there is maintain. It's important that you keep it properly maintained, as well as just doing the widening and deepening. Second, to focus on the other aspects of infrastructure that potentially constrain capacity. Landside, such as berths and cranes, but also inland distribution that benefits all channel users. Third, to focus on development of technology and other approaches to improve efficiency and resilience in the operations. Now, the measures here are partly about delivering these infrastructure projects, but they're also partly about the measuring the operational and capacity items that these projects are intended to address, such as vessel productivity, truck turn times, etc. You know, if we don't do these projects, those operational measures start to suffer. Partnerships. There is going to be a much greater emphasis on stakeholder partnerships here than in the previous strategic plan. And it was clear listening to what stakeholders had to say that Port Houston needs to do more to cultivate relationships with stakeholders and establish common goals that we can work jointly towards. We also need to be more transparent and accountable to stakeholders. So, for example, doing more to share plans and consult on major decisions. And thirdly, to be proactive in communication, not just sending, but also receiving. Now, this goal is harder to measure progress against. I think what matters is what stakeholders think. So as well as just carrying out projects, probably the best way to attack this is to design a regular survey to capture stakeholders' views and then to act on those. Finally, stewardship. The objectives here express various ways in which Port Houston can create greater value for the region. For example, environmental leadership. The team is already working on this and is developing an innovative environmental leadership strategy. Dealing with disruptive incidents, by which these could be safety incidents, environmental, security, cybersecurity. I mean, we need to avoid these incidents where possible, but also be prepared and to mitigate the impact when they do happen. Workforce development for the region. I mean, Port Houston already makes a very strong contribution to maritime training, not just for its own staff. And so finally, sustainable economic growth, not just for Port Houston, but also the greater port and all the economic benefit to the region that brings. So finally, we have all of the goals and objectives summarized on a single page. And I think that when you look at these as a whole, what you see is a strong focus on people, a strong focus on external stakeholders, and an appreciation that everything that Port Houston does is geared not just towards its own bottom line, but also the benefit of the region. So I think a lot of work has gone into this already, but it's still, as you can see, at a very high level. The next step is, I mean, it's going to be a lot of hard work for port staff going forward to plan out what are the specific actions to deliver each of these objectives. But for now, are there any questions about the plan?
Good to me. Great.
Good.
Questions? Okay.
Thank you.
We can go through two, three. Yeah, we can two. I mean, if there's any questions about the online, it's a 3-year contract for our attorneys for legal research services. Item number 3 is to enter into another service agreement, 1-year service agreement with Greater Houston Port Bureau. Port Bureau provides services for us that include provide the vessel traffic movement data that we actually use to bill for the harbor fees that we have. That's a big part of that. And then again, we have the audit plan, and then number 4 and number 5 is interlocal agreement with the pilot.
Okay, why don't we take number 2 and 3 and 4 together? The audit on number 4, the audit plan was approved by the audit committee and was included in the minutes.
Motion. Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, we got items 3 and 4 done. All right, so let's talk about the, let me introduce the the discussion on the amended local Greenwood Pilot Board. So as we've discussed in our last meeting, the appointing agencies have appointed potential pilot board members with the exception of the governor. So the county, the city, and the city of Pasadena and the council mayors have appointed pilot board commissioner or pilot board members. As we discussed in our last meeting, the idea between having because the language of the legislation wasn't exactly clear on how this all worked, the discussion has been with the appointing agencies we would take the last month and come up with a transition plan between the sort of old pilot board and the new pilot board, and that we would Port Houston would continue to provide services to the pilot board for a seamless transition. That's one of the, I think, goals that we all have in the new pilot board, is to make sure that it's seamless and we don't have any slips there. The interlocal local agreement originally was through the end of March of 2020. We had a meeting with the new pilot board commissioners who had not taken office yet, but we had that meeting with the pilots at the pilot offices, Eric, what, a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, 26th.
And the discussion was around what this transition might look like. And then there was a request by the new pilot board to give them an option to extend the transition period to the end of June instead of the end of March. They just don't want to be pressed to have to get everything done by the end of March. And hopefully we will, because ultimately the goal is to separate the pilot board from the Port Commission. We've all, I think, agreed on that makes the most sense for us to do. So the only difference between the discussion we had in our last meeting was this option period. And I told them that I was sort of fine with the option period, but I would rather not have to exercise the option period. We'd rather get it all done by the end of March so we have a clean break. So there's no question that the Pilot Commission is an independent organization. The legislation is less clear about what happens to the chairman of the Pilot Commission. And so the discussions I've had with both the county and the city, since they're the one who appoint the chairman, is that once we get the new pilot board settled and they have a plan going forward that includes funding and how it's going to operate under the new regime, then I would at their leisure resign my position and they could then get a new chairman. And so the objective is to live in the spirit of the legislation, which is that legislature wants to split the pilot commission membership from the port authority, and we're just fine with that. This item five, once it's approved, the logistics of what should happen then is that after our pilot board meeting today, when we do authorize this in the pilot commission meeting, then the existing pilot board members are ready, willing, and able to resign their positions, and then the new ones come in. So that's the plan, and I think the appointing authorities understand that plan. And then once we get the program, get the transition completed, where the pilot board is now independent, it is operating on its own financial position. And they have the time to figure that out. Then once the appointing bodies want me to resign, I will be happy to do that. And so I'm sort of the continuity between now and that time. So this item five gives us the transition period to the end of March, and then ultimately to the end of June if they choose to do it.
End of March, if in fact they choose it, will we then pay anything at all, the cost of the pilot board?
No.
So we'll pay nothing.
Port Houston will pay zero for the pilot board once the transition is complete, whether it be at the end of March or the end of June.
So they're making arrangements for their own funding and meeting place and such as that?
That's correct. It's likely that they will meet at the pilot offices.
I would think, yeah.
That's where the last meeting was held, that we had the informal meeting, because those pilot commissioners are not seated, obviously, so we didn't have a formal meeting. It was more of a conversation about what the way forward is going to be.
Yeah, it wouldn't make sense for us to pay anything because they want to separate it. We wouldn't be separated if we're setting and paying for it.
Absolutely. I think the intent is to make sure the pilot commission is independent of Port Houston, and once we finish this interlocal agreement and that transition is complete, it will be independent of Port Houston from a financial perspective and also from a leadership perspective.
Good.
Okay. Any questions?
The only thing, I'll make sure I understand, Mr. Chairman. You're saying either in March or June, you as chairman will even resign.
I will resign if the appointing bodies want me to resign. So I'm happy to resign, and I think it's important for me to resign. But the question will be whether the appointing bodies, what they want to do.
I got you.
Right?
So obviously, are we abiding by what the legislators set out?
Yes, sir.
Obviously, they didn't know themselves what they were doing, because they did not give us some directions, but so hopefully we're following the rules.
I believe, and I think that Eric and our lawyers believe that we are following the rules. I've also had conversations with the coalition, and Vincent, you might want to opine on this.
We're good.
Are you good?
We're good, Eric.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Good. Good. So I just want to make sure that we are. Even though the letter of the law is not exactly clear,
exactly,
we think we know what the intent of the law is, and the intent of the law is to separate the pilot board from the port. We're going to do that financially and leadership wise in a normal transition period, which this item 5 gets us to.
So at the end of the time, if March becomes that time, at that time, then you would resign and they'll appoint them a new chairman.
I think that's likely what's going to happen. Yes.
The governing parties will, not the policy board.
No. So what happens is that when I resign, they will have to then have a joint meeting of the city and the county.
Okay, right.
And then they would have to have their procedural process to appoint a new chairman of the pilot board. Mm-hmm. That's what they would do. But we're not going to do that until we have the final transition. And I don't think the city and the county wanted to have a meeting in December, especially since you have election on Saturday, right? so they, you know, they asked me to at least, go through the transition period, and then they'll appoint a new chairman.
I'd just like to make a statement, Mr. Chairman.
Absolutely.
Over the years, and I'm speaking to the pilots, over the years, we've had a good relationship with them. And one reason we did, because both groups worked together real well, and they had a lot of flexibility bringing vessels in and out when the port needed it done or the customer needed it done. And I just hope that we can maintain that relationship, and that regardless whether the port now is not over the pilot board, that we still work together as a group to make Houston a very number one port that it can be if everybody works together. So I'm asking that we keep the relationship that we had.
Would you like me to comment on
that? If you'd like to.
Sure. Go ahead.
Yes, our goal, obviously, we didn't write the legislation as a seamless transition. Nothing will change. People call up. We're going to take orders and climb on ships. Our goal is always for safe, efficient transits that benefits the entire structure of the Port of Houston. We're the busiest port in the country because we all make it work. That includes y'all. We thank you very much for all your service. And the pilots, we will continue to step up and do the best we can every day. I foresee no problems in the future.
Just help us with them 16 inches when you can.
I have one statement I want to make.
Go ahead.
Get it off my mind.
Uh-huh.
I personally do not think that the state of Texas had any right to regulate or try to regulate a federal waterway, because I do believe it's a federal waterway. It's quite obvious when people were hanging off the channel, the state wouldn't do anything or the county wouldn't do anything. When the FBI showed up, they got down. Because it's a federal walkway, and I don't think they have that right. Evidently, we've taken the position that we're not going to contest that, that we're going to continue to work in harmony, hoping to come to a solution. I'm not for sure when we're going to come to that solution. Hopefully today I'll find out a little bit more what's really happening, because we're letting a lot of time go by and we've not done anything about contesting anything, if in fact we're ever going to take that position. I seem to be the only one that thinks that way, but anyhow, I wanted to get it said.
Absolutely. Okay.
Well, I'd just like to follow up with what Clyde said. You know, we all work together down on the waterfront, and right. from the water side of the, you know, I don't see anything changing as far as the sailors and the tugboats and the vessels coming and going. So we look forward to working with the new board and just keeping the ships moving and in a safe and efficient manner. I appreciate everything the pilots have done. It's been great to work with y'all over the years, and we look forward to continue that relationship.
And then I just had a legal question, Eric. So on this, I'm assuming under payments, it's only related to any licensing issues, and then under the term, what would be an event of default?
I mean, the only one that I can really imagine is if miraculously the new pilot board began to collect fees for its services, and then they didn't
remit them back.
Yeah, they didn't remit them under this agreement to fray our costs. I mean, that's really the only thing I can think of. I mean, that's, again, virtually the entire agreement was taken from the one that's been in place for the last 25 years, and again, it's sort of more of a boilerplate provision than anything else, I'd say.
And then to Roy's point, because that was a question I had, I mean, what happened on the legal front in terms of deciding if this was getting an AG opinion?
We never did get an AG opinion. We were seeking the concurrence, the informal concurrence of the county attorney and the city attorney, and I guess the way I would characterize it, both of those groups thought that the best way to proceed was acting as if they were under a 45-day period to appoint. I my personal opinion, and I also talked to outside lawyers, is that's really not how the statute works. But I think we've agreed that, again, to facilitate the transition and really maybe to accord with at least the intent, although not the written intent, is to do this transition sooner rather than later. And so, but it does require, as a legal matter, for the existing pilot board commissioners to formally resign, because there's Texas case law, it's pretty clear that you can't have a statute that terminates someone's early term without being very specific about it. And in this case, there was nothing to say about it at all.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so when you get down to the issue, and if you want to think about both legislative issues that came up in the legislative process, right? The question, the language is what the language is, and depending upon what side of the equation you're on, you argue your point based on that language, correct? And so I think fundamentally our appointing agencies have made the decision that they didn't want to run the risk of losing a pilot commission position in the 45 days that could be, in fact, appointed by, that could be taken over and appointed by the governor, and made the decision that at the end of the day, and we talked a lot about this, by the way, with multiple commissioners and the mayor and the county judge and others, and the case that was made was, and I think ultimately we all agreed on this, and that is whether you're for the legislation or against the legislation is what it is, and today we need to join together with industry, we need to join together with the pilots, and the pilot board needs to be separated because that's what the legislation intent was, and we need to drive together in a unified front to deepen and widen the channel. If you take the opposite approach of let's figure out how someone on the opposite side of that legislation wants to argue their position, Then we open the fight up that happened during the legislative process, and we just don't think that makes any sense today, given where we are with the chief's report and word of next year. And so this was really let's have a clean slate. We're all on the same page. We're all on the same partnership, if you will, together to make sure that we get our deal done. And that's the position that our appointing bodies have taken. And I think it's the right one, given where we are today with because if we were sort of fighting over language and what is this versus that, I think we clearly couldn't join together and have the coalition and the port in Washington, D.C. together saying we're all together, we're going to make this happen. And so I think it's just part of the process. We need to move forward on this. And I think this is, you know, we're going to continue to have great pilots and they're going to do a great job just like they've always done. And they're just going to have different leadership, and that's okay. You know, so that's
just wanted on the record.
Yeah, that's when you get down to the, oh, absolutely, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, all I would just add is the important functions are pilot licensing, mm-hmm. incident review and investigation reporting,
right.
and tariff review and authorization.
Right.
And I think we've got a plan, and we're putting it, you know, we brief people, we're putting it into words on paper, and I think it's going to happen.
I agree. So any other questions about item 5? If not, I'll take a motion.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, great. We need to move back a little bit on the agenda. I failed to recognize that under item 1, we had it posted that we would also have public comment, which relates to our strategic plan. And we have a comment from Bridget Murray, who wants to speak about this, and we're happy to do that. So, Bridget, where are you? Sorry about that.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Bridget Murray. I'm also with the Healthy Port Communities Coalition, as well as a resident in the Pleasantville community, which is about 2 miles here from the port. So as I was reviewing the strategic plan, I guess there were two areas that at some point the community would like to see some clarification. Mm-hmm. I understand this is a high-level report, but at the community level, particularly with your partnerships area as well as stewardship, it's not very clear as far as how the port will interact directly with communities, the needs. For those of us, for example, in Pleasantville, we have a dredge site near us. Granted, it's inactive, but across the freeway, we have another one in the Clinton Park area. So we would like to know, as you all are interacting with communities, exactly how we will be pulled into the conversation.
Have a question.
Go ahead.
Have you guys had interaction with the port before in terms
yes.
of?
Yes, I'm a former member of the Chairman Citizens Advisory Council.
Okay,
but of course that council is no longer active.
Right, I think the chairman is planning on bringing that back.
Yes, absolutely. We'll start that in the first quarter again, and it has gone by the wayside in the last year. But that is definitely a program that we're going to be bringing back, so it's a good forum to have that discussion for sure.
I know we've worked with the council member on some issues as it related to Pleasantville in the community. So
Correct.
Do you feel like we're being responsive to?
I would definitely say that the community relations department here at the port, your representative Leslie Herbs, attends our super neighborhood meetings on a regular basis. I'm not going to speak just for Pleasantville. I think, though, that there are other communities that I want to make sure that they have a voice in what's being done.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Appreciate that. That's good. Thank you. Anybody else that wanted to speak about this? I don't think so. Okay, good. So let's move back to our agenda. I'm sorry. One more. Okay, good. Could you introduce yourself and tell us where you're, who you're from?
Sure. Good morning. My name is Stephanie Thomas, and like Bridget, I'm part of the Healthy Port Communities Coalition. I'm also part of a nonprofit called Public Citizen, and we work on environmental and energy related issues in the state of Texas. And like Bridget mentioned, I recognize that this is a high level report, but I think one thing that's really important to ground stewardship in is the fact that when we talk about the environment, sometimes it seems like we're talking about nature and wildlife, but when it comes down to it, we are talking about public health. And so when we talk about emissions reductions, we're talking about the value that is created by students not getting asthma attacks and being able to attend school. So I think it's a really important framework to realize that when we talk about value, that we're not just talking about monetary value, that health is a really important aspect for the communities around the port. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Appreciate that. Anybody else?
Need a motion on that one, or we?
No, we're done with one.
Okay.
We just didn't have the public comment part of it.
I got you.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go to item. So G, John, you're going to take us through G, commercial.
Good morning, commissioners. We have 13 items from commercial on today's agenda for your consideration. The first is requesting your approval to enter into a contract with a new representative for Latin America to replace outgoing Arturo Gomez, who after 31 years of faithful service to the port has announced his retirement in April. The second is our request to renew our membership with the Greater Houston Partnership at the same level with the benefits that are carried with it. The remaining items are related to new real estate leases, the majority of which are long-term leases to replace current month-to-month agreements with the tenants, with the exception of the last two, which are requests for change of control and assignment. This brings me to the request I'd like to especially draw your attention to this morning. This is from an article from the Port of Houston magazine in 1970, where we had completed 250,000 Volkswagen units, and we were announcing the very first Audi to get discharged here at the Port of Houston. We've had a relationship with Volkswagen since 1954, 65 years. And after, you know, they played an important role over the years in creating valuable jobs for the Turning Basin, and their current contract is set to expire at the end of the year. After months of tough negotiations, which involved Volkswagen conducting intensive studies to potentially shift their business to another port, we secured a signature page last night from Volkswagen. Applause, everyone. Yeah. And I want to especially thank Randy from the operations group and RD from the real estate group for their collaborative effort in making this happen. With your approval today, we can count on our partnership with VW's for an additional 4 years, and I look forward to a positive vote. If I can take any questions you might have.
Are we taking all these items? So, okay, that's fine. Good. So, any questions?
No. Motion.
Second. Motion to take items.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we have a on item number 13. We've asked that the item be amended to approve that assignment, but actually authorize the executive director to approve. We're still waiting for a couple of particularly one requirement to be completed, which is this transaction. The counterparty, who's going to be the merger partner or the joint venture partner, that information hasn't been released. So what we're asking the commission is to permit Roger to authorize the final assignment, subject to our approval of that JV partner. I mean, essentially, that venture will not take effect without this assignment, and they're still working out the final details.
Are you okay with that amendment?
Yes, but I have one question for
yes,
John.
Go ahead.
When you finish.
And then, all right, so.
I've got the amendment here.
Okay, got the amendment, and we had a motion and a second, which are happy with the amendment. And he has a question before we vote.
No, I mean, vote on it, then I want to ask John a question.
No, I have
nothing
a question.
To do with the amendment.
Okay, go ahead.
On number two.
All right.
What do we get for our $60,000, Roger?
Well, currently we're serving.
And they do a lot for us.
They do.
Yeah, Commissioner. Currently, we're serving on 7 advisory committees and 3 committees. It's basically the smallest of the major partner levels. It's at the same level, but we have a cross-functional group from the port representative. We've got small business representative on committees. We've got environmental committees. We've got infrastructure as well. Rich Burns serves on a committee. There's several groups that we're involved in to ensure that our voice is being heard in that group and its membership.
And along with that comes, and I think it's been vacant for the last year, a board member for the Greater Houston Partnership.
As the executive leader, yeah, as the executive contact, yeah.
So that allows us to have a position on the board.
Good, okay.
And my understanding is, Wendy, you want to take that position, correct?
Good.
Sure.
Great. Fantastic.
I have a check. John, in the negotiations with Volkswagens, did they ever bring up the fact that they may bring in larger ships online that might not be able to get up in the turning basin? And if so, do we have a backup plan?
You know, to be honest, that is the major challenge that we faced these last several months, because they are operating, I believe it's about 13 vessels coming in and out. And two of them have been identified as being too large to come in on this side of the turning basin.
Right.
So they had given us an announcement that they were going to terminate and then maybe just do it for a year. There's a lot of haggling back and forth as they kind of evaluated what the future was going to hold. So we were looking at alternative tenants to occupy the roughly 80 acres that they occupy, but preserving the Volkswagen relationship through perhaps operating out of Bayport Auto or maybe looking at new developments. We're trying to could see what the options were.
Okay, so we are working on a backup form at Barber's Cutter Bayport.
That has been part of the conversation,
right,
if I'm not mistaken. RD, if you want to.
Okay.
That's something,
And does the deepening and widening up the channel solve this issue long term?
Not up to the far reaches up here in the turning
the
basin. Yeah. The bridge is an issue. There's an air draft.
Got it.
I believe. And
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? So we'll take the amended amendment number 13. We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion approved. So let's move on to finance.
That's going to be me.
Take that? Okay.
That's going to be.
All right.
One is our annual payments to Harris County. One is for the appraisal district for the appraisal of the properties that go along with our GO bond debt service. That's for $405,000. That we actually write a check for. The other part of this RCA is for the tax assessor collector fee for collecting the tax proceeds for the GO bond debt service. This one they actually just take out of the fees that they, or the tax that they collect. So we don't actually write a check for this, but the $400,000 one we do. 2 through 5 are what Commissioner Fitzgerald talked about as what happened in the pension and benefits committee. The first one is the approval of the actuarial valuation report that was done by Milliman. That report has to be filed with the Texas Pension Review Board. That's the one that goes through and shows that this report showed that the fund was 92.9% funded, but you as a group approved an additional payment a couple months ago. If that was not in the report, because that was done after the report was completed, you add that extra contribution in it, we're up to 95.5% funded. And then just to give you an idea how this works with the stock market, if we look at what's happened since August, it's at 97.2% funded. So we are strong funded in that. 3 and 4 are just the annual investment policies that we bring in terms of both. The 3 is for the restated retirement plan, and 4 is for the OPEB, the other post-employment benefits. Very minor changes, just tweaking the system a little bit. That was also discussed at the committee meeting. And finally, 5 is the response to the new legislation, SB 2224, which says we have to have a written funding policy to get to 100%. Doesn't say you have to be at 100% of fully funded. What we're doing is basically putting in writing what we've already been doing. And so we are going to also file that with the Texas Pension Review Board upon your approval.
So you're adding five?
Mm-hmm. It's actually four, because number one is a separate award, right? So it's five items, but it's one, then one through four.
Oh, it's misnumbered.
Misnumbered. It's okay. It's one, and then it's one through four. Okay. There are five items.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not for sure you're.
They're trying to make sure you're paying attention.
I'm a numbers guy. I don't look at numbers.
I saw the same thing.
So those are the five items under finance. If anybody has any questions, I'll be glad to answer.
Any questions?
No questions.
If not, we'll take a motion on items number.
All five items,
one, and then one through four.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Okay, next item is infrastructure. Rich.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. Happy holidays.
You too, Rich.
Today we have 19 items on the agenda in basically four buckets. Three project-related items totaling about $600,000, two small projects here in the Turning Basin, and one modification at Bayport to connect Yard 7, which is being built now, to Yard 6, which was constructed earlier. Six marine construction projects for barge and ship facilities. They're all along the channel from Alexander Island to Old River, across from the Care Terminal, and inside the Beltway 8. Nine related to pipeline licenses and amendments and new transmission lines, and these are routine crossings. And then one related to approving funds for the Army Corps to review activities related to the ship channel design, expansion design. So this one basically is required by law. As we design the ship channel, the federal government has to review and approve those designs, and we need to make funds available for their time and resources. And that's about $400,000 to begin. We didn't want to overfund it or underfund it, so that number may change across the year if we need more support.
So we're paying them to do the review process?
Yes. Yeah. One highlight that I will also mention, it's not on your docket today, but it's related to an item you approved in October, which was the electricity contract. So last week we actually signed that contract. You gave the approval to our executive director to negotiate it. We looked at four different companies. We negotiated a 10-year term with MP2, which is a subsidiary of Shell. That is going to do what we said it would. It's going to save $250,000 a year, and it's also going to eliminate, because it's 100% renewable electricity, $250,000 tons of carbon emissions over the life of the contract. And so we think this is the right move. It's a win-win for the environment and for business, and it makes sense, and it's part of our environmental leadership strategy, which also includes initiatives like LED, electric vehicles, and so forth. So with reference to the earlier comments, I think the port has a lot to be proud of. And then finally, since this is the December meeting, and we talked about the strategic plan and measuring what we manage, in January, we had a plan of having about 70 RCAs across the year, worth about $190 million. We moved some things out of 2019 to 2020. We moved some things from 2020 in, so there's a little bit of variability. But as of this commission, we will have awarded about $180 million worth of projects. So we can say that we've been on track with the plan that we put forward last year.
Any questions, commissioners?
I have one on number one. Mm-hmm. Restoration of a restroom to an architect for $244,000.
Yes.
So what's it going to cost once he tells us? It seems like that's an awful lot of money.
So there are 12 facilities across about five locations, different transit sheds and so forth, that are basically antiquated. The The purchase of new bathrooms will be in a modular way, so it's going to be as efficient as possible. But the design cost is really to deal with a lot of pipeline issues. Water piping coming in and out of these buildings has to be modified. And so divided by 12 is...
So this is to design 12 restrooms?
Yes.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of infrastructure feeding those facilities right. up and down the dock.
I would think.
So this covers kind of this covers the restrooms up and down the docks, right?
Yeah.
They need it. They're horrible.
Oh, yeah. They need to be...
I know Clyde hears about it.
They were from the 30s, right?
Yeah.
They were really more designed to be one gender, not two.
Easy, guys. We're still using those.
Yeah, exactly. We got some people cleaning them better now.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, we definitely
have questions. If there's no questions, do we have a motion for all items so under infrastructure?
Second.
Questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. So we have all items covered under infrastructure.
Plus general, right?
The plus one? General, yeah, yeah. All items.
Yeah.
All items.
Okay.
All items. So what? So one and then 1 through 19.
Yeah, your guy should be happy. Okay.
All right, so operations, Jeff.
Yeah. Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. This morning we have 9 items on the ops agenda. 6 of those are related to maintenance and upkeep of the facilities and equipment, and I'll touch on a couple of the higher value items there, and there are 3 business items as well. Start with J2, approved staff ranking of vendors and award a 2-year contracting amount not to exceed $1 million for repair of motors, generators. Those types of things. PHA currently has in excess of 2,000 motors and generators on 90 RTGs, 27 ship shore cranes, and we expect 17 more RTGs next year. So these services are necessary to keep those motors up and running. Very important opportunity here. Moving on to J3, award a contract to Wesco Distribution for purchase of LED lighting for Barber's Cut, Bayport, and the Turning Basin. This is the 3rd leg of our 4-phase approach to replacing all the lighting in the facilities to LED. And you might recall in 18 and 19, we primarily focused on Bayport and Barber's Cut. And next year, the focus will be here at the Turning Basin. And at a later date, we'll come back and try to and approach you again to for approval for a control phase, which will do some things in terms of keeping lights off in the daytime and not lighting terminals at night when we're not working in them. So another phase still to come.
Jeff, let me just ask one question about sure. that. Hasn't there already been a measured reduction in energy
there has
for
been.
That as well as a significant improvement in lighting at these from a safety aspect?
Yes, on both sides. We've isolated those areas and measured the consumption, so the payback is working and is in order. And like I tell folks, I don't work at night anymore, but I've been out to the facilities just to see them, and it's phenomenal, the difference in the safety features
just
of the light.
Safety
just the safety features of the improved lighting. And so, again, this place is next.
And it doesn't infiltrate into the surrounding community.
Correct.
So a lot of wins there.
There's a lot for lighting pollution, particularly at Barber's Cut. It had the most aged and the most dense lighting.
Okay. So when we're done with this, we'll have replaced 2,642 fixtures. So.
And you're not a numbers person.
Not at all.
You didn't forget one, dude.
No.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt you.
No. Good question. Good question. Moving down to some of the business items, approve an amendment to the lease with Houston Terminals for an empty container depot at the Bayport Container Terminal not to exceed $2.5 million. You might recall earlier this year in February, the commission approved amending and restating the existing lease for Houston Terminals to build an empty container handling depot inside the restricted area of the Bayport Terminal. This amendment to that lease provides the opportunity for HT to construct some components in their yard on our behalf so that the utilities can be connected. And to kind of simplify that, they're building in a greenfield area that it's going to be sort of a peninsula when they complete, and then we'll come in and build around them, and we'll need infrastructure to tie in to electrical and drainage type issues. And our estimate was $2.5 million on this, and their contractor came back and it was right on it, spot on. Good job, Roger Ho, on estimating. And moving on to J8, reissue and Port Authority tariffs. This is an annual ask. Each year we try to keep the tariffs current. We correct language, may, and from time to time add charges. There is one new charge in this list, and it's related to agents' failure to submit birth apps and a $500 fee when that occurs. And there's one increase charge for storage of rail cars here. Today we charge $10 for storage of rail car, and we're going to ask to up that to $50 per day. The balance of the changes just correct, just clean up some language throughout the tariff. Again, we do this annually. Moving on to J9 is recommendation to issue stevedore licenses for the list of stevedores listed there. We have one new stevedore this year, and that is for the Sesco operation on the south side that they continue to construct RD first quarter. They're going to be operational.
In the first quarter, yeah.
In the first quarter. They'll be discharging cement and into the tanks that they've constructed. And so with that, those are all the items for ops. I'll take any questions if there are any.
Question on item number one, this rejected bid. What's the issue there?
This was for proposals for auto parts, and we had two responses, and only one of them was rejected and deemed non-responsive. So we only had one bidder in essence. So we're going to take it back out and repropose it.
Okay.
And we're going to change it in that we are trying to do it all in one big pie.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of smaller companies that can do pieces. So we're going to make it a divisible contract rather than just one big piece pie.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll get more people that can do some of the littler pieces than just the whole thing.
All right.
Any other questions? If not, I'll take a motion.
139, so moved.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, let's go to people. Jessica.
This should be pretty quick and brief. I just have one item under people, which is for the annual service agreement with the Houston International Seafarers Center. There's no changes to this agreement, essentially. We've worked with them for over five decades for them to provide humanitarian services to the vessels that call our docks. So we are just recommending approval for next year's contract.
Motion.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay. Sure. Good brain.
Good morning, Commissioners, Chairman. Two quick items to note, and then three RCAs, and I'll focus on one of them. I saw Commissioner Don Carlos separately at an event recently and briefed him on the Lone Star Harbor Safety Committee. They're standing up what is known as a fleeting area working group to look at the situation and events that led to the I-10 situation. As you know, currently there's a safety zone in effect, and the captain of the port gives him temporary powers to regulate. This would be a waterways action plan, a voluntary plan developed by the working group that at certain trigger points the people up and down the channel would activate. That's voluntary. And then the third step would be a regulated navigation area if the captain of the port so chose to go that direction. That'd be regulatory. We've requested a seat on the working group, and when it stands up, we will have a seat here represented by Port Authority people. Second thing I want to mention is Silver Santa. The police department, along with all the other departments down within PSEO, has raised close to $4,000 this year for their Silver Santa program. It's in its fourth year. They'll be providing pillows, blankets, non-slip socks, and other items to the 50 to 60 residents of the Jacinto City Healthcare Center next week, as well as buying their holiday dinner for them. They'll also be going by the Mexican Heritage Center on Magnolia Street and providing some of the same items to them for distribution for Christmas. Separately from that, the sergeants on the police department have a long-standing relationship with Port Houston Elementary and provide 10 to 15 bicycles every year about this time of year to the staff over there to give out to deserving students. Hopefully, I believe that's scheduled for tomorrow afternoon. They'll drop those bikes off. Last I heard, we were up to 9 or 10 this year. But they'll be over there to make sure that those kids, some of those kids at least, have a very happy Christmas with some bicycles. So great community outreach and partnership done kind of off the radar by the police and department. We have three RCAs. I think two of them are pretty self-explanatory. New fire engine is a recapitalization. Normally, we recap after 10 years. We've gotten 13 years out of this one. I had a visit to the shop the other day, had a check engine light and a stop engine light. I did not know there was such a thing, but apparently there's a stop engine light. So it's time to recap that one. It takes about 9 months to build one. The SCBAs, or self-contained breathing apparatus, the Scott Air Packs, came to you last year. It's a four-year recap plan. This is year two. We're doing 10 every year. That one's pretty straightforward. Colin, if you join me up here, the biggest one is the two radio towers. Several months ago, we came to you with an interlocal agreement, an amendment with Harris County to become a partner on the Harris County radio system. In return for becoming a partner on the system and waiving the fees for our radios, we agreed to build two radio towers. This is the RCA to build those two radio towers. The return on investment by not paying those fees is about 10 years. We'll
so
build
we
one.
We build it and get our money back in 10 years, is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir. We pay about $600,000 a year for the next 10 years on those radio fees. That's been waived. 10 years, $6 million. Cover the cost of this.
But doesn't this also improve resiliency of the communication system as well?
Absolutely. Like right now, we're using our COWs, which are temporary.
Yeah.
This and Colin, the reason I have Colin here, he's the technical expert, links to some other towers in the area, improves coverage for Harris County down at that end of the county, does a lot of great things for us. And most importantly, our people, our safety, security, and maintenance people can talk to each other. Which is critical, again, when they're working on the cranes or responding to an incident. So that's the most important.
What are we going to do with those cows? We're going to send them to slaughter? Or
as part of our agreement with Harris County, those are going to remain our regional assets. So if there's a tower that goes down anywhere in the region, we can deploy those out, set it up, and help out anybody. That's also our continuity of operations plan. If we have a major storm that comes in and knocks out one of our towers, those will be secure. We can bring them out after the storm and have the towers back up on a temporary until we get them repaired.
So they're still going to be grazing?
They will be grazing.
What's it cost a year to feed them?
They're pretty cheap.
I think it's about $5,000 a year in maintenance and keeping the licensing and things up to make sure that they're ready to go.
Good.
But again, as a regional asset, we think that's very appropriate.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Any other questions on this one or any of the other things I mentioned?
Nope.
And I know Commissioner Don Carlos is not there. We're Morgan's Point's okay where we put the tower and all of that, correct?
We had hoped to bring you both the amended interlocal agreement with Harris County and the build of the two towers in October, I believe it was. We had to put off the build of the two towers, met with Morgan's Point, made sure that they were okay with the location of the tower because they are, almost 300 feet tall.
Correct.
And we wanted to make sure that they were good with that, and they are good with it. We met with the mayor.
Okay. Thank you. Is there a motion?
Motion.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Got it. Okay. Mr. Thompson.
Charles.
There he is.
Season's greetings, Commissioner. Chairman, on this beautiful and brisk December morning.
Oh my God.
As we approach the end of the decade, technology only has four items on the agenda. Item number one.
The decade.
We're just trying to get through the end of the year.
We have a three-part adjustment for our Microsoft licensing agreement. Now, I want to tell you that a conscious decision was made 2 years ago to start the licensing at a lower feature level and thereby a lower cost level because we were not ready programmatically to take advantage of some of the advanced features. This was done because the cost associated with these elements would basically consume a larger part of the cost of our needs, and we would be wasting money. So let me kind of share some of these advanced technology elements with you very quickly. Email encryption, mobile device and application management, end-user device threat, cyber threat protection, advanced litigation hold, and advanced e-discovery across all Microsoft platforms. Secondly, we also increased our license accounts for end users from 700 to 800 because that's how Microsoft is now making people pay for what they use. And finally, as we have talked about before, all software vendors are changing the method by which they bill, going from a cost of percentage for your maintenance to the same cost every year. Good thing is the total cost for the three adjustments over the last 2 years of this agreement is only $900,000. And we've basically offset $450,000 not taking advantage of that 2 years ago. The item number two is half of what's required for the technology infrastructure at Container Yard 7 North only. Specifically, we will come back next year when it's appropriate and ask for Container Yard 7 South technology components. Item number three is to purchase additional storage for capacity for one of our two data centers. We believe we may require more storage in the future, but as we've already shown you, we are only going to come back when it's appropriate and needed, and we will do that as well and bring that action if required. And finally, which is I'm really proud of this one, in support of the Barber's Cut gate entry and construction remodel, the current location of our telecommunications circuit services require being moved by our current service provider. We've saved $52,000 and lock in our current pricing for an additional 2 years by taking this extension and this action today. With that, on this brisk and beautiful December morning, we'll be back to take any questions.
That's why we don't have anything in August, so we can't talk about the heat.
Wonderful day, just $1.5 million.
I'm having a job, I'm having my job, aren't
you? I bet you have a great singing voice, too. Any questions? Okay, motion. If not, motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to go into executive session now.
You want to take a quick break?
Take a quick break?
Yeah.
And then we'll go to executive session.
Commission of the Port Houston Authority of Harris County, Texas will now convene in a closed meeting as permitted by the Texas Open Meetings Act and code to conduct private consultation with attorneys, including consultations regarding the Port Commission policy regarding certain ship channel projects, settlement with Orion Reconstruction Inc., and proposed amendment to the agreement for legal services with Ahmed Zabatanos, Tecos, Almaty, and Mensing. Deliberate regarding disposition of Pelican Island property, disposition of acquisition of attorney-based facilities, properties, economic development, negotiation or incentives, employment evaluation of public employees, security-related matters. Port Commission will reconvene in public session after the closed meeting is adjourned.
Hold the Port of Houston Authority meeting back together. Okay, so we are now back in session. We need item P1, I believe, is the next thing on the agenda, right?
Well, you want to come out and close?
We're out.
Okay. Make a motion. Can we make a motion?
We got P1 first.
Okay.
You want to we're out. Of, we're in open session.
Yeah. No. I just.
And we're going to get up, take a motion on P1.
P1.
Which is the discussion of approve the rankings of the vendors on the construction contract of $4 million to Orion Construction LP. That's on page 8 of your document, your book.
Okay.
Motion.
Second.
Okay. There's a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
I vote no.
Okay.
Okay.
We have all ayes except one no. Okay, and then we have a session. I think the motion out of the open session is in your court.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Chairman, I move to authorize the Port Authority to amend its agreement for legal services with AZA Law Firm for legal services on terms discussed in executive session and authorize the executive director to do all things necessary to effect the foregoing.
Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, that is our agenda. The next meeting is on January 28th, 2020. I will take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved.
Second. Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Great. So happy holidays.